One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Without Christ as your personal Savior and being filled, you'll be the worst drunkard you've ever been in the history of your life. And you'll run out to the end of the trail before you know it. You watch, you'll fall off into a drunkard's grave and said, "Oh, God!" Too late then. Right now's the time to get your victory. There's no other answer. There's no other answer. Christ is the answer. Well, he said, they that tarry long at the wine or the beer or the liquor, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it's red. That's one reason I wouldn't have a television set. They put that old bottle of beer with its foaming over the top, and they said it's made from 1,100 springs, you know, pure water. It's aged in the woods, that's right. I want to know what the final day is going to be like. And brother, I've got mine figured out, praise God. I'll tell you, it'll be my graduation and commencement exercise. So far as I'm concerned, because I'm not tied on to this old world. This is not it down here. What's yours going to be? You'd say, mine will be the death of a drunkard. All right, I'll tell you what will happen. There'll be nobody there. I've buried many a drunkard. They didn't have one man for pallbearer. They didn't have one person, not one Ludwin that came. Ludwins knew it, but they didn't come. Said, haul him off, drag him off, put him anywhere. See, I know there was a dope addict taken into Houston. Some of my friends that I've been working with, and he got an overdose of dope, and his friends were so doped up they wouldn't walk with him. And he laid right there and died, and they put him in the trunk of the car, folded him up and threw him in there, took him into his brother in Houston, Texas, knocked on his door at 3 o'clock in the morning, said, got your brother out here, said, he's dead. His brother, his own brother, said, haul him off. The heat's on me too, enough now, I don't want him here. And they had to haul him off and throw him away. I want to know what's going to happen when this thing's over. You can have victory. And anybody in this room wants victory can have it. I'll guarantee you. Jesus, he never turns anybody down. What is that song? I was trying to think of it. Dead, ever saint, find the Lord, forsake him. No, not one. No, not one. Our sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about these old struggles. He will guide till this old day is all done. I don't have a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. That's true. But you know, when I sing that, I feel like singing, I don't have a friend like the holy Jesus. I like that better than the lowly Jesus. I'm the one ought to be lowly. Yeah. And Jesus is the holy. But anyhow, let's read on. At the last, when it's all over, it biteth like a serpent. I wouldn't want a snake chewing on me. I don't know why women is more scared of snakes than men, but they usually are. I guess it's because Eve maybe got tangled up with one in the beginning, but women have always been afraid of snakes. A little lizard come in the house, or a little old mouse. Oh, you know, they holler and they climb on the table, you know. I can't, you know, get him out. I mean, they're afraid of snakes, see? That's right. In the end, it'll chew on you like a dirty, poisonous reptile. Like an old serpent. Think about it. Come to your deathbed and snakes chewing on you. Snakes in my boots. That's right. It's what the Bible said, wasn't it? It's what the Bible said. You watch some old drunkard die sometimes, see what he hollers. You watch him. You listen to him. Get these snakes out of here! They've cried a million times. These snakes are eating on me. Get them out! Not any snakes in this room, in this hospital. Yeah, there's snakes! The Bible said, in the end it biteth like serpent. Brother, God knew what he's talking about. He knows your dirty nature and my dirty nature. And he knows the end of sin. He knows what's going to happen. One of these days, I want to speak on the after effects of sin. That's all you got to do. Just figure, what's this bringing me to right here? The wages of sin is death. The wage, and then the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he said, in the end it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Think about it. Think of laying on your deathbed and the snakes chewing on you and the adders are stinging you. And that's exactly, now you know what he's talking about, don't you? I mean, actually, not real snakes. But there'll be something on the inside worse than a million snakes. Yes. Worse, that there'll be that old conscience annoying, that fear and that horrible sight that you're fixing to go into hell, and you know you've wasted your life, you've cheated your wife, you've made your children suffer, and you've been a scourge to society, and you've been a leech on your generation. All of it'll well up when you lay on that deathbed and you'll face that little card of eternal death and hell. You'll begin, that's right, that's what the Bible's saying right here. What he's saying. And if you think liquor's ever been good, it started out bad. First time wine ever turned into wine. First time anybody ever got some grapes and let them rot. And they made wine, it became intoxicating. You know exactly what happened? He got drunk. I mean, Noah got drunk. You know when he got drunk? Right after the flood. Right after the flood. Right after God brought him through, flowed him over a year. Over 365 days floating safely, and there wasn't a leak in the ark. There wasn't anything except safety and the blessings of God. And yet he got out, and the first crop he made a jug of wine. Now, I'll tell you this. Noah had more excuse. He'd never been in the wine. He could have said, I didn't know what he'd do. He'd never drunk wine. Nobody ever drunk wine. That's the first wine he's ever made. And the first drink of wine a man ever took, it made him drunk. And he exposed himself to his three boys. And a curse fell on his family. And that curse remains today. The first time a man ever drank a glass of wine. Amen. Started out bad. Didn't get bad after. Just bad all the time.
Yes.
Oh, the sorrow. And I tell you something else. Lot knew what it was.
Yes.
Old Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, and the thing got him in troubles when he looked up and saw the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Old Abraham looked up and saw the grace. Mm-hmm. Just give me the grace and you can have the grass. I got the grace, I'll get the grass, whatever I need, you see. Just like the old preacher, remember. He'd been out under Elijah. Old Obadiah is one of the little world preacher running with the king, see. Old Ahab. He's the sorry rascal anybody run with. And they were looking for grass patches, and old brother Elijah come walking up. He's looking for grace, and he found it, and prayed down the fire and prayed down the rain. But Lot looked and saw the grass yonder in the Jordan Valley. Said, "That's all right for me. I can see my cattle going to market." Ah, listen, talk about showing a profit. We'll make some money down there. Pitched his tent toward Sodom. The Bible said he dwelt in Sodom. That's the city of homosexuality. That's the reason God burned it plumb up. A lot of these little namby-pamby, Casper, milk, toast, sorry, modernists trying to condone and endorse homosexuality of the devil. God burned two whole cities and all the people up except just a few that got out because somebody prayed for them.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been for old Uncle Abraham, the old Lot burned up too.
Yes.
He lost his kids down there and his wife turned into a pillar of salt because he got her out of Sodom, but he couldn't get Sodom out of her.
Yes.
You ever get to Sodom, it's hard to get Sodom out of you. It really is. Talk about it. I know that's why the psychiatrists, they tell, we've had men come here, homosexuals, you see. I mean, that's just eating up with it, just disease with it. They come, and they've already been to all the psychiatrists and been on the couch and been in the psychopathic ward, and the psychiatrists tell them this. Well, it's just one of those things. You'll have to learn to live with it. It'll be told to Daddy. Said, "Daddy, no need you getting excited." He said, "Get excited." Said, "He's committed suicide. I tried twice." Says, "My boy, he's my boy, 21, big old fine-looking boy." And said, "There's got to." He said, "No, no." And not anything psychiatrists would be able to do for him. Oh, this old world says once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. That's what the AAs say. That's the reason I wouldn't give you 2 cents. That's the reason they don't ask me to come speak to them. You never find me because I'd bust in their cigarettes and the cards and all the rest of their filth, and I'd tear the thing wide open. See, they don't want me coming because I'd offer them the remedy. They don't even have much relief. Just kind of prop up on each other, you know. And then all of them fall together. The blind lead the blind. They all fall in the ditch. You know what I'm talking about.
That's right. Go ahead.
I'm for them if they get the job done. But when they leave Jesus out and leave the Word of God out and just talk about an infinite abstract God some off in the far yonder, brother, we got to have a Jesus and a Savior.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about. You've been running through all that. Got to get on to Jesus, folks. I'm talking about the cure. There's only one cure. Only, I tell you, I've seen people said, well, you know, I've been off to get the cure. Somebody said, I've had the cure 4 times. Sorry, cure. Really was. Well, I tell you, when you get Jesus' cure, it's permanent. Yes, sir, whatsoever. I know that whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it and nothing taken from it. And the Lord doeth it that men may fear. And so Lot, you know what Lot did? He got out yonder. And he only had 2 little girls left. They were his own daughters. They called him Daddy. They said, Daddy, where are we going? Oh, they said, I guess we'll wind up over here in the cave, honeys. And he got over there, and the little girls got together and had a conference one day and said, you know, it looks to me like we don't have much prospects of continuing the name and so forth. Our brothers and sisters all gone, and little old things, they didn't know, they're desperate and so forth. And they said, you know, we need to have some children. But we don't have a boyfriend or husband. We don't have anybody that's going to marry us. And so I tell you what we better do. As the devil talking to them. See, they hadn't been built up in the faith, brother. They see, Ms. Lot, she'd been probably going to bridge club when she ought to go into Bible club. Amen?
Right.
And she hadn't taught those little girls. See, those little girls is weak. They're just weak morally. And, they, and one of them said, well, I only hope we got Daddy. And said, yeah, but I said, you know, Daddy, I mean, Daddy vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And you know, Daddy wouldn't, Daddy loves us too much and he wouldn't live in sin with us. And I know it, I realize he wouldn't if he's in the right mind, but come on now.
Yes.
If we could get him to drink some wine,
mm-hmm.
and he'd go crazy for a little while, yes. then he wouldn't even know what is going on. And so
that's
both
right.
of them. Dear friends, this is a sad, sordid, satanic picture. But I see an old man sitting in the door of an old cave, staring out across the prairies. They have an old coyote trotting across. Old mockingbird, I think, refused to sing. And there's some little illegitimate children, really an illegitimate daddy, sitting there in the mouth of the cave, wishing he could go back to the hills. Where he prayed with Uncle Abraham. Liquor got him. Liquor got him. Listen, nearly every... Now, I'm going to leave a loophole here. Because some of you raised Cain. But I tell you what, it'll hit nearly every one of you. Nearly every alcoholic is impure and immoral. You lose your controls. I believe I would. I tell you what... And I'm just being honest with you and frank with you. It takes the grace of God to keep me in control... without any liquor in me.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I know what it is to be lonely and to have heartaches and all the rest of it. But dear friends, if it wasn't for Jesus that I could lock up in my arms at night and make love to Him and say to Jesus, I love you and I want to be true to you and I don't want to stoop and I don't want to hurt the people that believe in me. I don't want them to ever lose confidence in me. Oh, seem like a million souls in Egypt's land are crying, come over here and get us across the Red Sea. We haven't had any milk and we haven't had any honey and we don't know the taste of a grape. Oh, come on. It seemed like I can hear the cry. Heard a man preaching on his sweet message. He said, God said one day to Moses, I hear my children crying. I hear my children crying. I got to go down and get my children. He said, my children, a mother always recognizes the cry of her little child. Be a dozen out there playing. If that little child raises his voice, she jumps about 3 feet, said, that's mine. Oh, listen, that's not Tom. That's little Bill. I mean, that's my child. I hear my children crying. And I want to hear that cry till I die. I really do. I hope I'll never get to the place where I can't hear the children crying. Not just laughing or singing, only hear them crying. Because when they get to crying, it's time for us to get to going. And tell them we know the way to the promised land. We know there's a way out of this thing. And God will see you through if you'll come and put your trust in Him. One other, and the message is going to have to close. There was a man, he was a king. He was having a great time, had great power. He'd never lost, looked like a battle or a victory very much. He was in good shape. But one night he decided to have a big party. So he called 1,000 of his lords and all of his concubines, and I think among those were a lot of porcupines, and he got them all together. Yes, he did. They was having a big... And he said, "Say!" And you know, I notice when a man begins to drink, he'll disrespect God. Yeah. He'll disrespect the Word of God. And old Bill says, "Said, shut it!" And I guess 100 servants stood and said, "Your Honor, what are your orders?" He said, "Go up to Jerusalem and get those sacred vessels and bring them down here." And said, we're gonna drink out of them. And they thought, that is great. Oh, King Belshazzar, yeah. Feasting and a playing. They come in with the golden vessels, and the Jews had used those for sacred purposes, dear friends. Out of those vessels, their drink came to honor God, which in a sense was a type of that everlasting water and life that's to come later through the Lord Jesus Christ. And old Belshazzar said, "All right," to all that bunch of butterflies, "help yourself, it's on the palace, and drink till you fill." And about that time, up over the mantel, I think God must have knocked and said, "Watch me right." Mm-hmm. And a man's hand, think of it. A man's hand, no arm. Just an invisible hand. I mean arm, but the hand just writing. "Meany, meany, TKL, you farcing." Old Belshazzar's eyes bugged out, and he told his musicians, said, "Stop playing, get out of here." And the party was over. Brother, that is his last party. You're going to have your last party too one of these days. You just stick your fist, and some of you are doing that right here today. You said, "I will not have him. I'm not ready. I'm not going to do it. I'll never come under." You'll come under one of these days. You'll come under. And so, you know, he ran all of them out, and he called all of his smart aleks in. Chaldeans, soothsayers, fortune tellers, he called them all in. That's right. His smartest prognosticators, here they come. They came in, and they looked at that writing on the wall, and it puzzled. You know why? That's God's writing. Don't ever go to the devil's crowd to interpret the Bible. Hear? That's the reason I never fiddled with the liquor crowds come out the last few years, you know, last 20 years, saying, "Well, now we believe the Bible. Believe the Bible, me, I. If you believe the Bible, you get out of the liquor business." Well, we believe the Bible condones and endorses and said that it's one of the pleasures that God has made, and liquor's good. Dear friends, liquor's been bad ever since it's made. In the end, it biteth like a... But in the beginning, it breaks up a home. Tears up a home. Some of you men in here have been drinking practically all of your life. All of your life. And yet Jesus will deliver you like that. That night, because you know what happened, they called Daniel. And that's that fellow that didn't eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. They didn't call... They couldn't get a beer guzzler to come in and interpret God's writing. Amen? That's right. A lot of these little old loop-legged preachers sipping beer, you see. Well, I wouldn't even pass by the church if I did, I'd run. I wouldn't even walk slow by a man's church if he drank liquor or smoked cigarettes.
That's right.
I'd never even go in his church, see? God's preachers ought to be better than that. And of course all the rest of us too. And you know what happened that night? That night Belshazzar was slain. Of course old Daniel came in and told him, he always said, "Yes, I can interpret the handwriting. I mean, no problem at all." He said, "I notice your kingdom's gone, divided, given the Medes and Persians, and I notice something else. There's a personal message up there for you, Mr. Belshazzar." "Yes," he said, "what is it?" "Trembling like a leaf blowing in the wind, I imagine. Scared to death. Couldn't sleep, couldn't rest." There he is, old guilty conscience eating on him. "What's the matter?" He said, "I notice where it said that you're weighing the balances, and not enough merit in your soul to balance the scales of God. Son, school's out for you. It's all over. You had your last little playpen. I mean, you're going in to meet God tonight, and you're going to give an account to God. And while you've been feasting and playing, you ought to have been fasting and praying. That old Assyrian army is a knocking at your gate." Oh, I can hear them old feet are marching, them old soldiers are coming. And Belshazzar, "You've had it, son." That's what the old preacher told him. And that's what I'm telling you right here. You've had it until you get to Jesus. I'll guarantee you judgment is coming on until you come to the place. You say you're trying to scare us. I wish I could. I wish I could. Anybody that lives without Christ and without God ought to live constantly in fear. And I believe they do. And may the Lord help you. Now then, this is the cure right here. Jesus said, I gave it to you yesterday, didn't I? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you release. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. You'll find rest. You'll find rest unto your soul. Will you bow your heads while we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of bringing this message here to the city and for the wonderful attention. Lord, we realize today, as we preach, we felt the witness of the Spirit in precious hearts. People that feel the same way we feel now, they see it just like we see it, and that's a miracle. That's just the grace of God. Lord, my heart rejoices today when I think of the men and the women in this building that are redeemed and delivered and happy and know what I'm talking about. And now they're working on the building. And because we are part of the building, thank God for your victories, Lord. But Father, my heart's burdened about some who've never seen. Their old eyes are still veiled. The scabs have never fallen off. The old scabs of unbelief. And the arms of rebellion have not been stacked. And I pray to show them soon they're going to meet the judgment bar of God. Lord, I pray that you'd bless every man and every woman at the City of Refuge, and every boy and girl that you've sent to us. Father, I'm so glad you opened the doors of mercy. How much you love us. Even to the end you love us. Lord, we thank you that you're able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by thee. Yes. We pray that men and women may see that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to the Father's house except through him. Bless this message and bless the people that heard the message. And Father, I ask you for one thing. Keep the people here until they come to Jesus and they get victory. Lord, don't let them go away. Not just because they'll dishonor and disrespect the City of Refuge, but because they'll dishonor and disrespect God and deny the Christ that bought them. Now bless the workers, all the others, sweet, precious helpers they are. God bless their hearts today. Lord, I'm so glad that you got people that'll just stay at a place like this and live and love and just won't ever give up or quit or back up or let up, knowing soon we're going to be caught up anyhow. So we pray that you'd bless the service and get glory to thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're happy you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today entitled, The Cause, The Course, and The Cure. To receive that message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2581. Please include at least $10 for shipping and handling, and the call letters to the station, and also today's date. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403.
When sin and strife came in my life and took control, I knew that nothing I could do would save my soul. I brought my heavy load of guilt to God in prayer. He laid my sins beneath the cross and left them there. I'm living now.
For our special offer for August, we have a recording from the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Library. I believe that you'll receive a blessing by these inspired messages and song. To receive it, ask for offer number RO830. The title of the album is Unspeakable Love.
Since Jesus came and took my shame beyond a doubt, I've just begun to see what life is all about. I've moved up on a higher plane where joys abound, and from this mountaintop of love I won't come down. I'm living now.
The Sunshine Quartet sang and traveled with Brother Roloff in revivals for many years, and some of the titles of the songs are God's Last Altar Call, I Still Like the Songs That Mama Sang, Victory Was Won, Hold On, and many more. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO830
and include an offering of at least $12. Permit me a moment to encourage you to help lift the financial load this summer. We certainly do not want to cancel any of the radio station, but we want to keep paid up with our bills, and sometimes that is a little bit tough, so we definitely need your help. Now, to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price thanking you for your help and love and support this summer, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.